say that there's a, I can say a certain degree of, emotion that overcomes me as I just want to dedicate this year to a very, very close and dear friend today, the Yahrzeit of Avram Silver, Olav HaShalom. This school has been dedicated in his name. Avram Silver died on this day in 1997. He was 42 years old. And he was a great philanthropist. He was a great supporter of Torah, of Yesha. Oh my, was his heart in the right place. He would have been a major force in Orthodoxy, would he have been granted the years, but he was not. So I was his teacher so many years ago, and we maintained the relationship for all of these years until he passed away. And of course, the relationship continues now with his wife, Bonnie, and their three children. And they've dedicated the school and really a major part of what's going to be, what is going on at the Israel Center in his name. So here it is, Parashat Bereishit. Now, I think that I may very well have been a little over anxious to accomplish a great deal today. That's the pages. There was a better word I was looking for.
Ambitious,
that's the word. I was a little ambitious. So I'm going to try and limit our remarks to the Ramban, the second page. Our selections from the Ramban, but we can start with the Psukim, of course. One of my very difficult Psukim. And here it is, since I'm dedicating this year to the Ramban, and with Rav Moshe Ben Nachman, and I was afraid that Rhoda Epstein would be here this morning, and she would say to me, when did the Ramban live? Who was the Ramban? So I have, the Ramban was born in 1194. And he died in 1270. And I noticed also, the Ramban died in 1204, which means that the Ramban was 10 years old when the Ramban was born. The Ramban was born in 1194. So in 1204, he was 10 years old. The Ramban, of course, became, first of all, one of the great disciples of the Ramban, but also one who was not afraid to disagree. When he wanted to disagree with the Ramban, he did. And the Ramban, Rabbeinu Moshe Ben Nachman, is best known by his acronym Ramban, and also as Nachmanides. As the Ramban, Moshe Ben Maimon is known as Ramban. He was the leading Bible and Talmud scholar in the generation following Ramban. Also a renowned philosopher, poet, and physician. He was born in Gerona, I believe that was northern Spain, into a famous rabbinic family. He's sometimes referred to as Rabbi Moshe Gerondi, after his native town. He spent most of his life in Gerona supporting himself as a physician. He exercised extensive influence over Jewish life. Even King James I consulted him on occasion. By the age of 16, he had published his first major halakhic work. And then following that, he published so much, and of course, best known is his commentary on Torah, and also there's so much that he wrote, but there's also a great commentary that he wrote on the Ramban's Sefer HaMitzvahs, the book of Mitzvot of the Ramban. So the Ramban has a Perush, and also there a number of places where he disagrees with the Ramban, and the classic, I would say, most famous disagreement, and I'm not so sure that it's such a disagreement. Rambam lists all of the positive commandments, and then he lists all of the negative commandments. After the list of positive commandments, the Rambam writes that he lists 17 mitzvot that the Rambam should have listed and didn't list. Now, his famous one of them all is mitzvah number 4, where the Ramban says that it's a mitzvah, I'll use his words, to conquer the land of Israel, to reclaim the land that has become arid and dry and uninhabitable, and the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael at all times. Because the Rambam does not enunciate it clearly, so there are those who hold that according to the Rambam, there is not, though there may not be a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry. Promise you. You're all fulfilling a big mitzvah. But
Rabbi
this is
Gold
the famous... Huh?
Rabbi Gold said so, never mind Rabbi.
Listen, I'll tell you, in 1956, I had been learning here in 55 and 56, and there was a time that I had learned with a chavrusa in Merkez HaRav. Merkez HaRav was on Rav Kook Street, you know, near Anatiko. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody knows the restaurant. It's very beautiful. But right near there was Beit HaRav. And it still is. It's a museum. And there's a big Spanish. So I remember before I was planning on going back, so somebody told me, go in and ask, there's a fellow Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, the Rav's son, and ask him whether you should go back to America. So here it is, I walk in off the street and say, should I go back to America? So Rav Tzvi Yehuda, beautifully, I cherish it now. He brought me into his living room, and he brought out a sefer, a mitzvah of the Rambam, and he gets to the page where the Ramban, it's a long Ramban where he discusses the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, and he learned that whole Ramban with me. There's something so fatherly and so beautiful about the way that he did it. It didn't help for the short term, because I did go back, but it certainly must have been a contributing factor in the long term. All right. By the way, I was listening in at the end of Rabbi Adler's shiur about making a borei pri hagafen on a bris on Tisha B'Av. So I want to tell you, I mentioned this the Hoshana Rabbah night, I think, that I had a bris in Shul on Yom Kippur, and I was given the honor of giving the child the name. So for the first time in my life, I made a borei pri hagafen on Yom Kippur, and I didn't drink. The baby drank, and I thought to myself that I should make a shechiyonu for having made for the first time in my life a borei pri hagafen on Yom Kippur. I'll tell you the rest of the story. I see how much Rambam we get done today. The parents and the grandparents are all real Lubavitcher Hasidim. So I'm giving the baby the name, and you know, you bend your ear to hear, and of course, Menachem Mendel. So I smiled, I couldn't help it. Yeah, Menachem Mendel. So the father comes, the Zayin comes up to me afterwards, and he says, I saw the look on your face, like, when you gave the name, you were thinking, my, what an original choice of a name. So I thought it was probably in the family, now you can have a whole problem, Mendel, one, Mendel, two, Menachem Mendel, three, like, so many Menachem Mendels floating around. So then he tells me the story that I said for Shana the other night. This is a tough guy. He's not a sentimental character. And I see his eyes. It's Yom Kippur in the afternoon, and his eyes are tearing up. I can see this big guy. He's all full of emotions. He says, Rabbi, I got to tell you. Yesterday I was at the Kotel for Yom Kippur, and I'm on my way home from the Suda Masechet. And I see as you're coming down, you know, as you're coming down over there from Shar Tzion, there's a light, and there's a police checkpoint, a few police cars, and they're looking at every car, and the car's going slowly, and he's hoping, oh God, I hope they don't stop me, I have time now. Help the Rebbeinu Sholem. Stop him. And a policewoman comes over and says, what do I do? Like, I don't know. And people are honking back there, and she says, you know, in our trucks, we have a whole bunch of fresh lachmaniyot. They're going to go bad. Do you know a family or a yeshiva that can use them? And meanwhile, here it is, traffic is backed up, and they start telling the police, tell the traffic, wait a minute, take it easy. They go to the truck, they bring out all sorts of bags of Lachmaniyot, and this fella took it and brought it to Yeshiva in Arnof, Erev Yom Kippur, the afternoon. Here's this big guy, and he's crying, and he says, so I said to him, Mika Amcho Yisrael, who's like your people Israel? So he says, no rabbi, any Amcho Yisrael, there is no one like your people Israel. Alright, that's the story. Oh, Rhoda, I was talking about your Rhoda. I was talking about your Rhoda. You're bringing me back to the Shir. The Shir is on the Ramban. And I gave the whole history of the Ramban. Alright, I'll give it to you separately. Right. On the first side we have the psuk in the text. Men knew his wife Chava, she became pregnant, she gave birth to Cain, but only she said, Kaniti ish et Hashem, I have acquired a man together with God. Tosef Loledet et Achim et Havel. She then gave birth to his brother, to Hevel, by the Hevel, though its son Hevel was a shepherd, the Cain, Hoyo'ovid, Adamah, and Cain worked the land. Interesting, Sava Kabbalah says, with regard to Hevel, it says, by the he, Hevel, though its son Hevel was, and the fact is that by the he really is some kind of a future tense. By the he. And certainly in comparison to Cain, Hoyo was obeyed Adamah, was one who worked the earth. He was a farmer. He says because the fact is, what was man placed in this world for? It says earlier in the parasha that man was placed in the world of Dovul Shamra to work the land and God to take care of it. Hevel, who becomes a shepherd, is really making a change from what should have been the norm. The norm for man was to work the earth. That means Hevel is doing something that is unusual and exceptional. That's why they use the word by he, Hevel, or its own. Probably Hevel did not want to work the earth, because remember, the earth had been cursed after the sin of man. But let's go further. Cain became young, and it came to pass after a time period, by Yovei Cain, the Pri Adama, Cain brought from the fruit of the earth, Mincha Hashem, a mincha sacrifice to God. And Hevel also brought from the best of his sheep and from their fattened parts. By Yisha Hashem el Hevel ben Minchato, God turned to Hevel and to his mincha. El Kayin ben Minchato lo shah, and to Kayin and to his sacrifice, God did not turn. By Yisha le Kayin miyod, and Kayin was very angry. By Yitlu Pamav, in his face, he was crestfallen. He was broken by the fact that God had not accepted his sacrifice. I mean, how do they know? Most probably, what happened was that fire came down and consumed the sacrifice of Hevel, but did not consume the sacrifice of Cain. By Yomer Hashem al Cain, and God said to Cain, Loma Horo, why are you so angry? Loma Nafu Panecha, why are you so crestfallen? Hello, in Teitiv say, in Lo Teitiv, La Peta Chata Reveitz. This is one of the very difficult psukim in Torah. You never understood. Sorry. I'm hoping we'll understand a little bit more. According to Rashi, what God is saying to him is the following. Halo im teitiv, if you will be good, if you will mend your ways, Sa'id, God will forgive you. The word Sa'id comes from a word that we have said so often during the course of the Yom Nechayim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rach, Lechanon, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, Yemes, Notes a chesed alokim. No say avon v'fesha. God carries sin and rebellious. He carries and he forgives. The Rashi says, as Hashem says, intentive, if you will mend your ways, you shall be good, saved, your sin will be forgiven. Be lotative, and if you will not, then you should know, la pepa, by your door. By the door, Rashi says, by the door of your grave, chatat robeitz, the sin is going to be crouching there. It will be waiting there for you. Ve'lecha tshukato, and you will continue to desire, what? To sin, but you should know, v'atatim shobo, even though there is a yetzer hara, there's an evil inclination, you can overcome, you can subdue. And therefore what I'm telling you is, mend your ways. We're going to get back to this passage right away. For I know what Cain El Hevel Achiv, Cain said to his brother Hevel, and this is of course another one of the difficult psukim in Torah. For I know what Cain El Hevel Achiv, Cain said to his brother Hevel, now listen, like something went awry over here in the puzzle. By Yehibi Yotam Vasadeh, it came to place, it happened when they were in the field. By Yochim Kayin El Hevel Achim, by Yargeo, and Kayin rose up against his brother Hevel and he killed him. What did Kayin say to Hevel? What the puzzle says, by Yochim Kayin El Hevel Achim, and what do we expect? We expect that if it says that Kayin said to his brother Hevel, we should at least be told what did he say. And before you know it, the pasuk is already saying, "Vayihbi yotam basadeh." They were in the field, and he kills him. What was the conversation about? What were they talking about? I had once explained that it's not really important what the conversation was about. What the Torah wants to point out is that whatever they may have been talking about, or whatever Cain was saying to Hevel, he certainly wasn't communicating. You can talk at somebody, or you can talk to somebody, or you can talk with somebody. Cain is engaging in conversation. He's engaging in conversation. Doesn't mean that there was any significant communication. There are people who can talk with each other, and they despise one another. There's nothing to do. One has nothing to do with the other. You can talk, and you can hate at the same time. By the other kind of level, he engages him in conversation, but he is not engaging him in any kind of a meaningful, communicative relationship. The Medrash fills in a certain sense. Number one, there's the Medrash number one. That's right on. Vayom Kain al Hevelachim, Vayibi Yotam Basadeh. The Medrash asks the question. It says that Cain spoke to his brother. Well, what were they talking about? The pasuk hasn't told us what they were talking about. Alma hayu medainim. What were they dealing with? What was the issue? Amru. Medrash is going to give three answers. They said, "Boven halokat ha'olam." Let's divide the world. Echad not alat akar kaot. One took the land, the real estate. Echad not alat hametalman. Another one took movable objects. Dein amar. So the one who took the real estate of the world said, "Arodat koimalei, the land that you're standing on, didi, belongs to me. Fly, get off." And the other one said, "What you're wearing, Dane, ma'adat lavish, what you're wearing, didi is mine. Chalots, take it off." Dane omar prach, one said, "Fly." And sincerity that there's been an extremely complete breakdown of communication over here. They've divided the world, in other words, in the sense they've partitioned the world, but the partition has not brought any kind of peace. If anything, the partition has brought even greater strife. Mitocha, in this back and forth by Yochum Kanyan and Hevel Achiv by Yargeu, Kanyan rose up against Hevel, and he killed him. That's opinion number one. The opinion number two, Rabbi Yeshua de Sachnum, Yeshem of Levi, Omar, Rabbi Yeshua of Sachnum, Senor of Levi, said, Shneim Nopalat HaKorkot, Shneim Nopalat HaMetalfa. There was a more even distribution of the world. They divided the real estate and the movable objects of the world equally. So what were they talking about? Believe me, there is nothing more real and contemporary as this part of the marriage. They're fighting over Har HaBayit. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? One says, within my boundaries, the Beit HaMikdash shall be built. The Zeomer, this one says, because it says in the Pasuk, when they were in the field. So the second opinion of the Medrash holds that there has to be some kind of a hint in the Pasuk as to what was the topic of conversation. So they say, the word sadeh. The word sadeh is a term that is also used to describe the Temple Mount. Ve'en sadeh elo Beit HaMikdash. Sadeh is Beit HaMikdash, as it says, Sion sadeh teicharesh. Micha talks about what the Beit HaMikdash is going to be plowed under. So he refers to Sion as the sadeh. Kayan rose up against his brother Hevel and he killed him. Yehuda ben Rabbi Ami Yoma, third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Ami says, Al chavo hirishono hayu midayinim. They were talking about who's going to get chavo. How do you like that? Nechama Leibowitz says that, of course, what the Medrash is telling us over here is that all wars, all struggles, all battles throughout all of history are either over possessions. That was the first opinion. Possessions. That's what people fight about and kill one another about. The second, of course, is religion. Where shall the Beit HaMikdash be built? And of course, taking it one step further and making it even more contemporary. Chaos, the struggle is, in fact, over Beit HaMikdash itself. And the third opinion is over woman. People will kill one another. Or kill men or kill women. The world hasn't changed too much from the days of the Medrash. But in order to get to what we want to talk about, there's another Medrash down there, number two. Vayetzei Kayin milifnei Hashem. Later on it's going to say that Kayin is banished from the Garden of Eden. Yetzei Kayin milifnei Hashem. Kayin went out from before God, so the Medrash asked, Mehechon Yatzo? Where did he go from? So the number of opinions. Rav Yudin b'shem Rav Eva Omar, Rav Yudin in the name of Rav Eva said, Hifshu dvarim l'achorav, v'yotzo k'gomi v'dar t'ayyono. He sort of put his backpack on his back and his knapsack on his back, and he sort of made his way out of Gan Eden, sort of like one who is is sort of slinking away out of the presence of God. That's what's meant by the Yetzei Kayin with nation. Rav Rachin, the Shem, Rav Lozer, Rav Shimon, Rav Rachin, the name of Rav Lozer, Rav Shimon says, Yotza, kimafris, u kimeramer bimoro. That he walked out as one who is deceiving his God. Deceiving as though, no, we sort of made peace, and we're parting friends, and he goes marching out of Gan Eden. Rav Chama b'shem Rav Chanina b'Rav Yitzchak Amar Yotza Saveach. He went out full of joy. The first opinion, he's sneaking out. The second, he's walking out with his head tall, but it's a farce, it's a game. Not really so. He's trying to leave the impression that he's, you know, you can't fire me, I'm quitting. The third says, Vayetze, he went out with a great joy. Hey, ma da'adama, this as it is said, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, behold, your brother is coming out to meet you. On your way back to Mitzrayim, your brother Aaron is going to come out to you. He named Yotze Likratecha, he's coming toward you. And what does he mean? And God is telling him, your brother is going to meet you with great joy. The Yotze here is like the Yotze there. Great joy. Why great joy? What's the joy? So the Medrash explains. Adam HaRishon met Cain. Amalo. So Adam HaRishon, first man, said to Cain, Ma nasa bedina, what was done with your case? What happened? Amalo. Cain says the following, Asiti tshuva, I did tshuva, v'nit pasharti, and I arrived at a compromise with God. Hitchil Adam HaRishon mitapeach al panav. Adam HaRishon started hitting himself and he said, Kachu kocho shel tshuva v'ani lo ha'iti yodea. This is the great power and the strength of tshuva, and I didn't know. Miyad amad Adam HaRishon v'amar. Immediately, first man got up and he said, Mizmor shir liyom hashabbos. Why did he say Mizmor shir liyom hashabbos? So the first one met to say, what does it say after Mizmor shir liyom hashabbos? Tov lahutot l'Hashem. And what he meant was, it's good to confess, lahudot from Lashon vidui, it's good to confess. What's amazing, of course, is Adam HaRishon didn't know the power of tshuva. Cain knows the power of tshuva. How does Cain know the power of tshuva? Nobody's told him, but there's no question about it. Cain is a great man. Cain is a great man. We're going to see in the Ramban. The Ramban says he brought a sacrifice. He knew the secret of the power of sacrifice. It had to be by dint of his own greatness. We're not talking about a garden variety. A garden variety killer. We're talking about a killer in the garden of God. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about just on the contrary. Cain, therefore, is much worse. But Cain is brilliant. Cain knows the secret of Karbon, and Cain knows the secret of tshuva that Adam HaRishon himself did not know. It's not because God told him this tshuva, but he was able to arrive at a conclusion that if man stands up before God and says to Bishon, I'm sorry. Now here, there will be a difference between Rashi and the Ramban. The extent to which he does tshuva. Of course, the first response of Cain is certainly not a tshuva response. What happens? God says to Cain, the next pasuk, "Vayom Hashem Cain, Ei Hevel Achicha." Where is your brother Hevel? Vayom Lo Yadati. I don't know. Hashem Arachi Anochi. Am I my brother's keeper? I mean, here, this is clearly the response of a person who's trying to shunt away any kind of responsibility. He doesn't care any, well, it's my business where my brother is. I mean, this is certainly not a person who is ready to face the horror of what he did. Vayomer, God said to him, Me'osita, what did you do? Called Me'achicha, the voice of the blood of your brother, so Adama crying out to me from the earth. And then he says, Ator, order Ator, you are cursed, min ha'adamah, from the earth, asher patstad piha, the earth, you will be cursed from the earth. Ramban is going to make it clear, there's no curse on the earth. The curse is on Cain. The earth is not going to respond to his ministrations. Other people will be able to work the land and receive bountiful the crux. But you won't be able to keep Tavod. As Hazar, you will work the earth. Lo tosek te kohaloch. She's no longer going to give strength to you. Not tihyeh ba'aretz. You will be a stranger and a wanderer in the land. Vayom et kanyin Hashem. Now here, this is good. A Rashi, and then we'll go to the Ramban. Vayom et kanyin Hashem. Kanyin said to Hashem, Gadol avoni minisol. Gadol avoni minisol. My sin. Now this can be read in one of two ways. Rashi learns it as a question. Is my sin that great that you can't carry and forgive it? Gadol avoni minisol. If you read it as a question, it means that the Cain is still maintaining his rebelliousness. Like, what? It's so terrible. It's such a terrible sin. God, you're able to do anything. You can forgive even this sin. Now, we're going to Ramban. Because if I don't learn a few Ramban, it's going to be pretty bad. Here's a whole shiur devoted to the Ramban. Rada, he was born in 1194. Just remember that. You see where it's on the line over there, number three. By Yahweh Kain, Kri Adon, Mimpal Hashem, Kain brought from the fruit of the earth, he brought his sacrifice. The Hevel Hevi Gambu, Hevel also brought. Ramban says, Hevinu Ha'anoshim Ha'ela Sod Godol. These people understood the great secret of bringing sacrifices of animal or from the fruit of the earth. V'chein Noach. Noach, when he comes out of the ark, also brings a sacrifice. V'rabotenu amru, our rabbi said, Shigam Adam Arishon hikriv shor par. Adam Arishon also brought a sacrifice. V'ze yachson. Here, we were talking about the relationship between the Ramban and the Rambam. Here, in a very fascinating and code, he is referring to the Rambam. He says, all that's taking place over here closes the mouths of those who say confusing things as the reason for sacrifice. He's referring to the great machloket between himself and the Rambam that will come to the fore in Sefer Yikra. The Rambam at the Mora Nevuchim says that sacrifice was really a concession to the weakness of the Jewish people. They were living in a society, in a culture that sacrifice was a basic part of that culture. You couldn't simply tell them don't bring sacrifices. That's like telling people don't pray. So, as a concession to the weakness of the Jewish people, God gave sacrifice. Ramban says, no, it cannot be. And what's his proof? One of the proofs, he brings many proofs. One of the proofs is that Adam, Cain, Hevel, Noah all brought sacrifices. And these, of course, took place before there ever was idolatry on the face of this earth. So, bringing sacrifices did not begin with the idolatrous world. It was something that in and of itself has great significance. But that's already a major, major area of discussion, and of course there are those who explain what the Rambam has to say. The Rambam was not that wrong, but here it's that shuts the mouth, if I want to translate it the way, what it really sounds like. You say, Yachson, it shuts the mouth. By using the word Yachson, that's already, the negative connotation is there, because the Pasuk in Torah says, Lo taxon shor bedisho. You can't close, muzzle the mouth of an animal while it's working. So when he uses the term Ze Yachson, it's like, this is going to muzzle the mouths of those who say confusing things with regard to sacrifice. Va'od er mozbar, I'm going to deal with it. That it's Iker Gadol, but it's Sinai Kodesh Baruch Hu, that sacrifice is an extremely important principle in fulfilling the will of God. Now it comes to the pasuk of Halo in Teitiv Seit. This is one of the pasuk we want to make. Halo in Teitiv Seit, Al Dat HaMeforshim, According to the Mefarshim and Hebrews Rashi, Se'ed Aboncha. I will carry and forgive your sin. Just as we had the passage that we just learned over here, when Cain turns to God and says, Gadol Avoni Minaso, is my sin that great that you cannot carry it? So that's Rashi. I'll only take it if you'll mend your way. Say, I will carry. And the carrying means, I will forgive your sin. And then he also brings Valdat Rabbi Avram. Rabbi Avram, that's the Ebenezer, said, comes from the word, Yisor Hashem Panov Elecha. God will raise your countenance. In other words, there will be a renewal of the relationship between God and Cain. Keneged, because God had said to Cain, Loma Naflu Panecha, why is your face crestfallen? If you will do good, Se'ed, I will lift your face, and it will be a beautiful, beautiful, shining countenance of yours. Ki hamid bayesh, because the person who is embarrassed, kovesh panim amata, bends his head down. V'chein v'or panai lo yafilon, v'ham v'chavdo ki hu noseh panim amata. If you honor somebody, it's like you're lifting his face upward. There's a time, like you saw Panay, like you saw Fidal, etc. So we have two shot of the word intative Se'ed. Rashi says, Se'ed, I will carry your sin and forgive it. The Ebenezer says, Se'ed, if you mend your way, I will lift and raise your countenance. Va'aldati. The Ramban says, my opinion is intative. If you will do good, Se'ed, he learns, means strength, greatness. At the end of Sefer Bereshit, in the blessings that Yaakov gives his children, so he says to Reuven, Pachas kamayim al totar, because you are hasty, then you're not going to have what should be yours. And Yeter Se'ed, you should have had, Yeter Se'ed, you should have had more greatness, but that's being taken away from you. Se'ed is greatness. The greatness, the double portion in the world that belongs to the firstborn, and Cain is the firstborn. The Zetam, and that's why it says, Lama Choroch, why are you so angry? Ki Bevashto Me'achim, because he was embarrassed of his brother, Naflu Panav, his face fell. Ubikin Atoni Menu, and because he was jealous of him, Harogo, he killed him. Vihine Onalo, God said to him, Loma Harocha, why are you angry, Awachicha, about your brother? Vulamanofu Panechami Menu, why is your face fallen because of him? Halo in Taitiv, now the Ramban is explaining the passage, if you will do good, Yelecha Yeter Se'ed Awachicha, you will have greater strength over your brother. Vihin Lo Taitiv, if you're not going to be mend your ways, lo imobul vartuvo achara. Not only to you alone will evil befall. Kila petach beitcha chatatcha roveitz lachshilcha bechol derechecha, by the door of your house, there will be always something crouching there, the yetzahara, to cause you to stumble in whatever you do. It means everything. Everything. Your life is going to be a Gehenna. Ve'lechot shukato. Your desire is shuhishto kekli yod davek b'chor kolay yamin. That Yetzirah is going to try to be connected to you all of your days. But you should know that you have the ability of atatim shobo in takbots. You can rule over him if you want. Ki teitiv derochecho v'tasinem le'alecho. If you mend your ways, you will move him. Horehu al hatshuva, shehinetuna biyado lashuv b'chol eid sheyirtze v'yislach. Important line. I'm not sure what to do with this line. But what it seems to be is that God is teaching him that there's such a thing called tshuva. Horehu al hatshuva, he taught him about tshuva. Because that's what he's telling him in this passage. Intentive, if you'll be good, then great strength will be yours. If low tainted, then you should know you're going to fall. You're going to fall. You're going to keep falling down that slippery slope into Gehenna. So that means he's telling you that you have an opportunity to do good. Horeyum ala tshuva. He taught him that there is tshuva. Shehinu tunam biyado, it's all in his hands. Lashuv b'chol eit sheyirtze, that he can do tshuva any time that he wants. V'yislaklo, and God will forgive him. Of course, I have a problem with this. Obviously, the Ramban, according to the Medrash, we learned the Medrash a little while ago, that Olam HaRishon meets, first man meets Cain, and he asks him, well, what happened with your case? And he says, okay, I did tshuva with Pashaki, and I made a compromise with God, and it was okay. And Adam gets upset, he didn't know about tshuva, he didn't know about tshuva. From the Medrash, it would seem that it was Cain himself who arrived at this great conclusion of tshuva. Here the Ramban seems to be telling us that God taught him about tshuva. If God taught him about tshuva, then why doesn't God teach Adam and Rishon about tshuva? I'm asking questions that I don't have an answer for. It could be next year too. We may get an answer by then. In other words, it seems that the truth is, even when you look at the psukim, God is telling Cain, you can do tshuva. He didn't say that to Adam and Rishon. He didn't say it to first man. Why didn't he say it to first man? Why isn't Adam and Rishon?
He didn't kill somebody.
Yeah, but God saying it before he killed.
He blamed
Chabad
anyway. So.
Well, I like what you said. Well, I like everything you said. I'm a good word for that. In other words, what's really happening is God is attempting in a delicate way to intervene before a crime is committed. That's very, we always ask, well, where was God? Where was God? God was there before the first murder took place. So what should happen now? I'm making this all up as I go along. What should God do? Should God strike Cain down before he commits the crime?
That would be then the son who you kill before he commits the crime.
No, I think it would be much worse than that.
You take away his free will.
And you know what God might as well do? Go back a few psukim earlier and return the world to tohu vavohu. Return the world to nothingness, because if what you're going to do is you're going to stop man before he commits the crime, then there's no free will. It's all over.
But he warned him.
Well, okay, everybody's getting excited. Yeah, okay.
He warned him.
You know what the warning means? The warning means is that God, to the extent that he feels right, that he can do it without creating a terrible imbalance in the world, God does intervene.
Whoever said it was a crime? Nobody. There wasn't any talk at that time.
Isn't that? That's a very good question.
Yeah. That was my husband's question.
Well, you know why? Because you should know that man was not born created as an animal. There are basic instincts that every man was endowed with from the moment of creation and then afterwards from birth. Intellectual, there are certain intellectual ideas that everybody knows. The Meshech Chochmah talks about it. Everybody knows that the whole is greater than any of its parts. Do you need to be taught that the whole is greater? A circle is not a triangle. You have to be a place of doing to know that. Shlomo HaMelech says that God made Adam Yoshar. We're good. The human being instinctively knows that murder is prohibited. You don't have to be told, low tears up.
You do. I don't know. We are told. And so the Noahide laws.
And you know what?
And they don't take it for granted that men will know automatically.
No. No. As far as Jews are concerned, why do you think the Gemara says? The Gemara says, do you know what Lo Tirzach includes? Lo Tirzach includes embarrassing somebody publicly. If you embarrass somebody in public, that's called like killing somebody. Why does the Gemara say that?
Because
Because the fact is
that
everybody knows you're not permitted to kill. And by the way, God doesn't tell him, what did you do? You killed somebody? No. He tells him, Kol demei achicha tzorek imei lanem adol, the blood of your brother is crying out to me. You don't have to tell anybody, shouldn't kill. Kim osat ha'otam yosher, God made man straight. Go ahead.
Remorse because he ate the apple.
So that's funny. That's why the Medrash said that. He said, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. Tov Lahodos Lashem. It's good to confess before God. But by Chazal, the first Baal Tshuva is Kaina. Kaina is the first Baal Tshuva.
Very late.
Well, I'll tell you.
There happens to be a reality in life that you can't be a Baal Tshuva until you sin. That's the way it works. Without a sin, you can't be a Baal Tshuva.
That's a pretty big sin.
They come in this
time?
Yes.
Huh? The original sin was to come on that he
lost. The carbon wasn't a sin.
No.
The carbon wasn't a sin.
I don't know why I have to be
Oh, because he was upset that God accepted Hevel's and not his. That's why he's angry, and that's why he's jealous. And God already realizes that this is a very laden situation that could bring to who knows what. And therefore he's warning in advance. God is intervening. God is there. Let's go to Pasuk Yud Gimel. That's at the bottom of the page. Gadol Avoni min Esol. B'tmiyah. The Ramban begins by quoting Rashi, and when we learn the Pasuk, I told you what Rashi says. Gadol Avoni min Esol. He's asking the question. Kind of says, is my sin that great that you can't forgive it? Atotoin and Yoni v'tachton and God. You know, there's a certain chutzpah over here, the way Cain is speaking to God. Doesn't sound terribly repentant. What? You're able to carry the upper heavens and the lower heavens, the whole world. Vavoni yet shall it own. You can't carry my sin. Lishon Rashi. That's what Rashi says. Right, that's what I'm saying. According to Rashi, certainly at this point he has not yet done tshuva. But the Ramban is going to learn the Gadol Avoni min Esol. He's going to read it differently. Watch. V'hanachon. Whenever the Ramban says v'hanachon, what's correct? That means he's saying his pshat. V'hanachon pshat. You know what the real pshat is? Yeshu v'idui. He is making the statement. God Almighty, Gadol Avoni min Esol. My sin is greater than I can carry. I did something terrible. Amar Emet, he says to God, it's true. Ki avoni gadol milslach yoram. The Ramban is learning these words as gadol avoni minaso, as a person who has come to the full realization of what a terrible thing he did. V'tzadik ato Hashem, listen to what... You know what the Ramban is doing? We once learned Rav Kook. We learned a few weeks ago. We learned Rav Kook on the Arkada, who takes us through the mind and heart of our point of view, step by step. The Ramban, okay, this is the beauty of the Ramban here. He tells us what's going on in Cain's mind, and this passage he really gives us a major description. MS, it's true. Ki avoni gadol min eslach, my sins so great. There's no forgiveness. V'tzadik ato Hashem, you God, you're just, v'yosor mishpatecha, and your judgment is correct. Afal pi sha'anashto ti harbe miyot, even though you have punished me in a great way, v'hinei geirashto ti adoni al pnei ha'adoma, you have cast me out from upon the face of this earth. GBOT Navanad, because now that I'm going to be a wanderer and a stranger, Vlohu Halamo de Bakom Echad, and I won't be able to stay in any one place. I've really been expelled and divorced from the world. There's no place for me to rest. You know what the Ramban is describing? A person we say in English, you can't find a place for yourself, or is that a translation from Yiddish? We're talking about troubled, tortured soul. Even if he has a house, and has a beautiful house, and it's in a quiet, peaceful neighborhood, but because of the sin, he's a wanderer. He's a wanderer. He's an exile. Even if he wouldn't have been thrown out of the Garden of Eden. We disagree. The Rav brings it in one of his drushes, Kohatshuva. He brings it in the name of the Tzemach Tzedek, that was the middle Rebbe of Chabad. That pasuk that we said so often during the course of Slichas. Yeshav Hashem Lekecha Shvutcha, God is going to return your captivity. Yeshav, and he will turn the Kibetzcha, and he will gather you in from all of the nations. So the middle Rebbe said, Kibetzcha is a singular. How do you gather in a singular? You know, you can gather, if you would say, Bekibatzchem, he will gather all of you in. So I can't say, he brings a million people together. But Bekibetzcha, how do you gather in a singular? So the Sarasadek said, because a sinner is a person who finds no rest. He's a tormented and a tortured soul. His mind and his emotions are going off in all sorts of directions. There's no inner peace. There's no inner tranquility. And you know what the process of tshuva is? Returning all of the thoughts and emotions and feelings, bringing a sense of peace and tranquility to a human being, like you're being gathered together again. You have a place. You have a place. You're not flying emotionally in all directions without anchor, without anything. You don't feel you're at home with yourself. And this is what Ramban is describing over here. Ain makom l'menuchati, there's no place for you to rest. Umiponecha esater, and now I'm going to be concealed from your face. He realizes already what a real Baal Tshuva is supposed to realize, that the greatest punishment for sin is that one's relationship with God has been torn asunder. From before you, I am now concealed. I cannot stand before you to pray. I can't bring sacrifice before you. I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed. Because I carry the great shame and embarrassment of my youth. What can I do? Next page. Anybody who finds me will kill me, because he believes that by having committed this terrible crime, he has made himself in a sense hefker, ownerless. Anybody can kill me, and he feels like
he's in the world.
There are going to be people in the world.
What?
There are going to be people in the world.
Maybe his own children and grandchildren. Who else is there?
And do you not know he's going to be killed ultimately?
No.
By one of his grandchildren.
Two
boys. Lemma. How do you like that?
Ungrateful.
No.
The Ramban is beautiful because the Ramban is taking us into the mind and into the consciousness of the sinner. So then he says, "Baba, b'chaz d'cha'arav, and you with your great kindness, lo chiyavta oti mita, you did not find me guilty of a crime for which I should die. V'in sh'olafarav, hinei chato'i gadol, v'hin beitol ayonesh, my sin is great, I've been punished greatly, avol shomreni. God, I'm only asking you one thing. It should not be punished more than what you decreed upon me. Because I'm going to be a wanderer, I'm not going to build a house or a wall in any place. I'll be killed by the animals. He feels that the protection of God has gone from him. Very sensitive, very profound and deep feeling of a sinner who is truly regretting it. Hoda, you know what he's saying? Ki ha'odam einenu nisgar b'nimlat b'kocho dach shmichat elyon alav. No man has the power or the strength to save himself. There's only one way a person makes it through this world. Shmirat Elyon Alav. Watched by the Almighty God. I want to take you just a brief moment to another amazing Ramban and just tell you the basic idea. It's the last one. It says that afterwards, after it was all over, he left the Garden of Eden and he had children. It says by Hebonedir, he built the city and called the name of the city like the name of the son Hanok. Ki mitchila hayachoshev liyot adili b'avona. You see the depth of his regret. He thought that because he had sinned, he's going to be childless. He shouldn't really have, nobody should ever come from him anymore. The remorse, the guilt is unbelievable. V'acharei shenolad bo zera, after the children were born, heichel livnot ir liyot b'no yoshev bar. He began to build a city that his son should live. Why that his son should live? Because he knows for certain that he's never going to have a place that he can call home. He's the man without a country. Remember that? Was it a poem? The man without a country? Huh?
It was a book?
The man without a country. He's the man without land. And you know what's even more fascinating? The Ramban is going to say, it's so strange, you don't find this anyplace. How do you say somebody builds something? And he built. Why does it say in the present tense, he was building a city? You know what? He was always building and never finished. His whole life, hundreds of years, he's building, and he never finishes. He starts, he stops. He is a tortured soul. Tortured. Nothing. He's never going to make it. He will never complete it. And he doesn't complete it. And ultimately what's going to happen, of course, is sliding further down that slippery slope. All of his children are going to be swept away by the marble. A story of first terrible, terrible sin. It's a dramatic, dramatic description that really describes to us what's going on inside the mind and heart of a kind. Did he relive it in his mind a thousand times? Why did I do it? It really means that the evil that men do is ultimately that which does them in. Not so much the fact that it was a sin. It's not only the relationship with God that's now gone forever. So what a difference in two approaches. By the way, another hour I'd be able to tell you Rashi's side of the story. There are two sides to the story over here. Rashi has learned Gadol Avonim is so as the one who's not yet ready to realize he's made a terrible mistake. By the way, I think that we can relate more to the Rashi in a contemporary sense than we can to the Ramban. The sinner is just not ready to recognize that he made a tragic mistake. And you know how he makes sure that he doesn't admit it? When he just goes doing the same sin all over again.
I wonder what you're talking about.
You're wondering what I'm talking about? The same thing.
You know better than that.
We have somebody to talk to. Just give them more and give them more. It's really a repetition, a rewind, a replay. Nothing new. Nothing new. But you know what? What remains the constant? An inability to say I made a mistake. What? I mean, Musa, you're crazy. We're going to bring greater debts. Rashi's point is how difficult it is for man to say I made a mistake. The Ramban's point is how profoundly disturbing sin is, and how it eats away at the human being, and that after all is said and done, he has, in a sense, really destroyed his own life infinitely worse than what he did to Hevel was what he did to himself. What he did to himself. You can't relive it. You can't do it all over again. You can't undo. And at the same time that you can't undo, God does forgive. God does forgive.